The third commandment is a very well-known commandment, but it is not a very well-understood commandment. It begins, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain," which most people and most Christians take to mean don't curse using the Lord's name, and some might also include don't swear falsely using the Lord's name. And while it certainly includes those, that is only a very small part of what the third commandment is actually about. What the third commandment is about in its essence is bearing the Lord's name as one of his children and displaying the Lord's name in your whole life in a way that is not shallow, inconsequential, or hypocritical. And when the commandment says you shall not take, the verb take actually means to lift up or to bear, to carry. And thus, you shall not bear or carry the name of the Lord your God in vain is the idea. And what is being invoked here theologically is the fact that God's people bear his name. They carry his name because we are called by his name. We can see this in Deuteronomy 28, verse 9. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. So we bear the Lord's name and we carry it with us wherever we go and whatever we do. Now, next thing we need to understand is what exactly is meant by the Lord's name. We get an idea from looking at Psalm 74 and verse 7, where the temple sanctuary is called the dwelling place of God's name. And of course, when we actually follow this on out in the Bible, we see that what was actually in the sanctuary of the temple was God's presence and God's glory, as signified by the pillar of cloud and fire. So God's name is very closely associated with his manifest presence and his manifest glory. This makes sense because God's name is God's revelation or disclosure of himself, and therefore it is going to be his manifest presence and glory. And the one in the Bible who is particularly associated with God's name, presence, and glory is the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, God the Word. It is the Son, the living Word, the Word made flesh, who reveals God. And in the New Testament, we are told in a number of different places, including 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews chapter 12, that it was in fact God the Son, the pre-incarnate Jesus, who appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai and who led the children of Israel through the wilderness. So the pre-incarnate Jesus was specifically the manifestation of God's name, presence, and glory in the Old Testament. And then again, preeminently in the New Testament, he is the manifestation of God's presence, name, and glory as the incarnate one, the God-man. Now, this is signified to us shortly after the birth of Jesus when the glory cloud, the pillar of fire, the whirlwind, also known as the Star of Jerusalem, led the wise men down a particular road away from Jerusalem's temple, where you would expect it to go, but off to the little town of Bethlehem, and then it stands over the house where Jesus was. So the message here is very clear. The pillar of fire, the manifest presence of God's glory and his name is signifying that Jesus is the true temple. Jesus is the true one where heaven and earth meet, where God meets with man, where the wrath of God ceases and the mercy and the forgiveness of God begin. The New Testament tells us that this extends to all of God's people, all those who believe in Jesus. For the Holy Spirit dwells in us and makes us temples of living stones. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 6, and Peter talks about it in 1 Peter chapter 2. So through the work of Christ and by the indwelling of the Spirit, we now are where God's name dwells. We bear the name of God. We carry the name of God. We carry His manifest presence and His manifest glory. Now, the third commandment tells us that we must not bear or carry God's name, presence, or glory in vain. And the word vain means empty. So when you put all this together, what the third commandment is saying is, you shall not bear or carry the presence and glory of the Lord your God in an empty way. So the point is, we have no choice but to bear and carry God's name. We don't get to wake up one morning and saying, I'm feeling very self-willed and ungodly today, so I'm not going to bear or carry God's name with me as I go today. I'm going to leave it home. Not an option. We do bear and carry His name. The only question is, what are we saying? What are we saying about God in the way that we're carrying His name? So the way we carry His presence and His glory shows the world what we think about God. It shows them our true theology. Now, there's two ways of bearing false testimony about God in the way that we bear His name. And both of these are connotations of the word vain or empty. The first way is we can bear God's name in a vain or empty way by carrying it in a way that is shallow, banal, inconsequential, it's light. It doesn't make much difference. And that's exactly what it would be, that we carry God's name, His presence, His glory in a way that says it doesn't make much difference to us. It doesn't make much difference in our life. There's nothing different about our life that would show that we really are a Christian, we really are a child of God, and that this is the controlling reality of our life. In fact, it's in that passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 6, where Paul says, don't you know that you are the temple of the living God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Well, whenever God put His Spirit somewhere in the Old Testament, that was God's way of saying, this is mine. This belongs to me. So when His glory cloud fills the temple, God's saying, this is my house. This belongs to me. When the Holy Spirit fills us, because we're united to Christ, God is saying, this is mine. This one is mine. This one belongs to me. Right? So Paul takes that in that passage. He says, we are the Spirit of the living God lives in us. We are the temples. We are individually temples and together the temple of the living God. And then he gives us the conclusion for that, which becomes the foundation for the entire Christian life, which is this. You do not belong to yourself. You do not belong to yourself, but to the living God. Christ who purchased us. That's what God is saying when He puts His Spirit in us. That's what our lives are supposed to say, so that we do not bear God's name in a light or inconsequential way. The second way we can bear His name in vain is to bear His name in a way that is openly contradictory. In other words, hypocrisy. The way we treat others when we think no one is looking. You can always tell, being around judges and other high officials at different times, or generals in my life, one of the ways you could tell the really great ones is the way they treated the janitor when there's nobody around. Okay, I knew some judges who you could tell they were a judge on the street in street clothes from 10 blocks away from the way they walked and everything. The best judge I ever knew, you would never be able to tell. Most humble, treated everybody kindly, never came into the courtroom in a bad mood, never took out his bad mood on counsel, which a lot of judges do. Great judge. The way you treat your loved ones when you think no one is looking. The way you conduct your business when you don't think anybody important or significant is looking. So if our lives, when people get an inside glimpse into us, say and make them say, well, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. That's carrying the Lord's name in vain. All of this, bearing God's name in a shallow, inconsequential way, bearing it in a way that's openly contradictory, all of that's what the Bible calls hypocrisy. And hypocrisy, if you want to put it this way, hypocrisy is what the third commandment is aimed at. And it's one of Jesus' main themes in his ministry, and certainly in the Sermon on the Mount. Don't be that way. Don't be that person.